Since the service of property management was introduced into China, it has been an integral part of the development of residential neighborhoods. Meanwhile, disputes between the management the property management company, or 物业公司 in Chinese, and apartment owners also appear to have escalated. Music to the ears of house owners rings, a new regulation stipulates that house owners can refuse property management payment in certain circumstances, and the property management companies might even need to pay house owners back. What are the scenarios that's stipulated by regulation that house owners can refuse to pay the property management fee?
Right, so State Council Order number 689, to be precise, has been released recently, making amendments and annulments to five regulations. A highlight to this new order is that change that's going to be made to the country's property management regulations. Those are the people that manage your elevators, that do all these different things in your buildings, that maybe you don't necessarily think about every day.Some previously ambiguous articles are made clear and some situations are stipulated as free of charge in this new regulation. Let's name a few here to give you an example. So number one, the collection of property fees should be started from the de facto date when the house owners received the notice stating that their property is ready for use and should not be from the date of delivery stated on the purchase contract, okay? If the developer fails to notify the homeowners about the date for the use on time, the homeowners may refuse to pay for this gap period of time, okay? So it's important for these two to be in contact, to be talking to each other, to be communicating, all right? And if not, it could mean that the developer or even maybe the property managementwon't get payments from the owners, okay? If the property company does not sign a contract with the owner, the house owners may refuse to pay the property managing fee is another one here. If the quality of the property managing service is too poor, house owners can temporarily refuse to pay. However, there must be strong evidence, okay? So if you do something like this, you need to make sure you have something to back yourself up.Number four here, house owners shall have the right to refuse to pay for services that are not stated in the contract or that are not agreed upon by the owners. Okay, so let's say my property management does something or offers something that's out of the contract. If I don't like it, I don't have to pay for it because it's not in the contract. And finally, another one here, number five, if the property managing company unilaterally raises the property managing fee, the owners shall have the right to refuse to pay for the increase, okay? So, as I understand, pretty much, folks, a lot of this is going to be, a lot of this comes down to the contract that's made between two groups. That is the property management, those are the privatized people that look after and maintain your property, and the owner community,which is a group of people, can be small or big, but they represent the interests of all the people present in the community. Now, there's often sometimes where maybe many people living in the community don't even really care about these issues. But still, legally, on many matters, the owner communities, these people that are elected as kind of heads of the community, they have some power in their communities and what can be done, and we're going to talk about that.
Yes, and I think it's very important for us to talk about it because for a lot of people, not only do they not know about all these regulations and their own rights, they don't really care that much in most of the times. That's why they don't really, a lot of communities don't even have a house owners committee that's representing their own rights. And to me personally, the three regulations, the first one being that you don't have to pay the fee if the service is not good. And the second is if they raise the fee without consent from the house owners, then that raise is not solid. It's not acceptable by everyone. And the other one that homeowners can refuse to pay for the new services that they didn't demand or didn't give consent to. These are the three ones that I'm really interested in because I think they're very important, and most of the disputes between homeowners and the private companies are issues related to these three. And I think previously, these are the kind of regulations that's been implied. And if you have strong evidence, if you take your case to the court, you might win. But now we have clear stated regulations, clauses in the law, in the regulation that might make the situation more clear and will make it better.
Yeah, and I'd like to highlight one fact that this is published by the state council, so it's national level, showing that actually the central government is putting this...I suppose, interest of resident building owners center. And what's also interesting here is there's another part of the regulation that even says that property management companies or these 物业公司may even have to give the residential building owners some money back.
Right.
That is...music to my ears. And
don't be expecting a big paycheck, though.
Let me know.
Well, according to the property law of the People's Republic of China, all the public spaces and public facilities in the residential communities people live in are collectively owned by all the homeowners. So all advertising revenue from public facilities, i.e. elevators or indoor billboards, guys, I know you've seen them when you're in that elevator going up to your apartment, and maybe there's some educational...ad there, or a car loan ad there, something like that. Money is being paid for that ad to be in your elevator, okay? And this has a lot to do with your owner's committee and your property management. Okay, so for activities such as advertising in these public areas of the residential community, these new regulations also provide a clear stipulation.Without the consent of the owner's committee, property management companies are not allowed to conduct any profit-earning activities. So, this means that property management can... So they get paid primarily to maintain the public space around your residential community. But now, or maybe even in the past, but now it's being addressed in this new regulation and we're talking about it,Now there's this other way of them to make money, and that is ad revenue, right, in your elevators or a poster on a wall somewhere in your community. And now this new regulation is saying, hey, you're not allowed to be doing that unless you get permission from the owner's committee. And as stipulated by Hyung just now, this often comes back to the owner's committee in a kickback form. So what ends up happening is...The property management company says, okay, we would like to advertise in your elevators. We got some companies that are willing to pay this amount of money, X, Y, and Z. And the owners committee says, all right, we agree, but on contractual basis of we get X, Y, and Z amount of money from this deal. So, New Honglin, you have an example, right, from the Guangzhou Daily?
Yes, according to Guangzhou Daily, a residential community named Qile Yuan has done a great job, actually, in gaining profit while managing the property. And the major reason here, or I think the main reason here, is that the community is self-managed.By the owner's committee.
Ooh.
That is to say, they cut the middleman and decided to manage their own neighborhood.
So this can happen as well. You don't even need a property management company. Sometimes, if some people in the community have enough time, they can just manage everything.
Exactly.
The owner's committee can exist by itself.
But even though I am going to tell you a very promising story, I have to say there are examples where the owner's committee decided to cut off the middleman and manage the neighborhood themselves, and it didn't go really well. They didn't really manage anything. They don't have the expertise or experience. So the whole community basically break down. So we're not advising
everyone to do that. But this is a successful case. That is, after the self-management, the annual income of Qile Yuan community is about 4 million yuan, including three parts, the property management fee, parking and vehicle management fee, and other income. Mm-hmm. And the monthly property management fee is about 130,000 yuan. Parking and vehicle management fee is about 150,000 yuan per month. And there are others included. The so-called other incomes are the elevator advertising income, the tennis court rental income. So they have a tennis court and they rent it to people who do not live in the neighborhood, and the plot booth income. So they invite certain little booth stalls to come into the neighborhood and start selling their little things. And there's also housing intermediary and collection of electricity and water and so on. And all these monies, we can see that a lot of them, a big part of them, are still coming from the people who are living in the community. But with all that money, they managed to have in a surplus after successfully managing the whole neighborhood, making it clean and tidy, and also having some money left.
Right. To give you guys an example, I was talking to Lai Ming before the show, and we were looking into like what this advertising was and what it translated into numeric value, i.e. yuan currency. How much money does it cost to have advertising in a community? Because you can imagine residential communities are of different classes, right? You have the high-end class, the super fancy places. Probably different advertising happening there, and probably it's more expensive to advertise in these really high-end districts or apartment communities, right? And other places, not so much. Maybe, let's say, in third or fourth tier cities, the advertisement's probably not going to be as much, especially if the residential community isn't as nice, right? So the nicer community, I expect the more expensive and more money it is to advertise there. But to give you a general idea of how much advertising kind of ends up costing in these scenarios as they pertain to residential communities, Lai Ming gave me an example of his apartment, okay, his residential community. So he said that roughly what it comes out to is about, let's say, one piece of advertisement in an elevator is about 3,000 yuan a year paid to either the property management or the owner's committee, all right? So let's say Lai Ming did some math here, and he said, based off of all of the elevators in his building, this would, just from his building alone in his residential community, that's 10,000 yuan a month alone. I think actually that's his whole residential community coming in monthly from ad revenue just from elevator posters. That's 10,000 yuan a month alone. So this kind of does translate into some serious money. But I think what's really interesting here is how do we decide, and where's the transparency in who gets it?
Yeah, and that part, I think, is one indicator showing that maybe the regulation stipulators are very much in touch with what's going on in these residential communities. Because in the past, the reason why this was never mentioned is, I suppose, we just never realized that the elevators could become a place, an ideal place to advertise. And now you see that pretty common in residential buildings. But there's, well, not, I don't think I entirely disagree with you, Ryan. But I think for more expensive neighborhoods, residents would probably don't want these ads to appear.
But, okay, so you say residents. But I'm saying that only a select few of these residents, i.e. the owner committee, get to decide. And that's why I said there needs to be transparency. So what if I'm like BMW? And Hyang, you and three other people are heads of the owner committee of a kind of high-end residential community. I come up and I say, hey, how about I give you a little money? You allow me to throw up some BMW ads in there, and, you know, nobody really has to care. We won't go overboard, but we'll just throw up a couple. Hey, if you're driving cars or you're looking to buy a new one, think of us.
Yeah, so it
And you say, okay, well, that's nice.
So So you're saying that the housing owner committee or the
gets
residential
money from advertising,
yeah,
people,
or the residential
and money
owner
often is very convincing,
can become a place of corruption potentially
on some level.
Actually happened in previous news stories.
Oh.
There are some really corrupted owners committee that sometimes they just want the money in their pocket, and sometimes they are the puppet of the real estate management companies. So they just do whatever the companies say instead of standing for the rights of the whole neighborhood.
Right. I think you guys provide a very full picture there, but I wonder if the neighborhoods that can actually make money, like the example New Holland gave earlier and the one later on about the corruption that happened in residential owner committees, those seem to be the more extreme cases on both ends of the spectrum. I think for the more commonly seen situation is that there are issues going on in the neighborhood and you're not happy about it, and you know that it falls on the responsible parameters of the residential building management company, and you make a complaint but nothing happens. So that becomes the really common source of complaints and disputes, and sometimes that is really miserable for residents because you come home, you don't want to be bothered by all that stuff, and it happens. And with the committee, with the residential owner committee, that sounds like you need representatives. And these And for a common person, you're already busy with work, and it takes up a lot of your time to be part of that committee. So, how does it work if we can make things a little bit better?
Yeah, to be honest, I think every interest comes with a price. If you want a really clean and tidy and great building and without worrying about all the troubles happening to you after busy work, you might have to take some time out of your very busy day to at least know the people who are in the owner's committee to make sure that if you have a problem, you have a place to file your complaints. And also, don't ever think that if I don't get the service, I would just stop paying the management fee, because that's also not a really good idea. Because the resident management company, since their priority is to manage the neighborhood and also gaining money from it, so if you refuse to pay, it will be illegal. And if they take that case to the court, they will be the winner. So I think if there are something happening to your building, all you need to do is first keep a record of the evidence, making sure that they are doing some poor management. Save that evidence, take it to the committee, having the committee negotiate with the company. If you have done all that, they have no evidence against you, and if you take it to the court, you will be the winner.
Right, and as I understand too, if over, let's say people aren't necessarily agreeing with their committee, as I understand, if over two-thirds of homeowners in the whole community vote something, it happens no matter what. So guys, there's a lot of rights here as they pertain to residential communities that maybe is worthwhile knowing. But I mean, I would say even in the U.S., we don't necessarily care. I mean, we have something called the Homeowners Association. So this was something not so common in the 70s. In fact, 1% of all Americans were involved in what is called a Homeowners Association, much like an owner's community. All right, but what is a Homeowners Association? Well, like condominiums or townhouses or gated communities, houses built within a community that is very specified. They share things, okay? Facilities, much like here in apartments in China. You have to pay like around, I think it's $200 to $400 a month. And these homeowner associations are made up of people that you, as soon as you buy a home in this community, you are a member of the homeowner association. And officials like treasurers and whatnot are elected in these communities. And initially, when, let's say, a community is first built, the developer sets this up. But after a while, homeowners themselves are the ones that kind of take control of this association. It has serious power. In some circumstances, let's say in our home community, Huyang wants to paint her house pink. I say you can't do that because it drives the rest of our housing prices down. So these communities actually, even in the U.S., have much stronger say in what I'm allowed to do with my own house as well. Here, though, I see this advertising, this system, this new regulation, it's good. I think it's making people more aware of their rights as they pertain to a residential community. But I don't like that this advertising is so lucrative on so many levels, yet maybe probably most of the people living in these communities won't even notice the money they get back. So in a way, I see this as being some kind of exploitation. So I would say not necessarily awful exploitation, but just companies wanting to make more money. So let's say the property management company. They see their services and the income coming in from that. But then they also say, hey, there's space in these elevators, and we clean them, we maintain them. Let's just ask if we can put up some advertising, and then we can make some money.
Yeah.
And then they make extra money. And the thing is, what I think really needs to be done here, too, to protect these residential communities' rights, is make sure whoever these homeowner committee members are, they know legal contractual things. They know what they're signing. Because I think contract law is a really important thing to know, especially when you're signing away advertising rights in your community for people who may not even know about it, right? You're representing Joe Schmo who lives on floor one, who doesn't even care what you do. But suddenly he comes home to a huge billboard right in front of his door. Hey, Joe, try to buy a new car sometime soon. He's like, I hate this. Why? You know, these kind of changes happening. And maybe because somebody didn't read the contract well enough when they were signing it between the owner's committee and the property management company.
Yeah, and that's the part that often isn't even included in the contract when you're signing with the management, with the residential building property management company. And certainly it seems like there is a lot of gray area that is being sort of cleared up right now.
Yes.
But I do wonder how feasible it is going to be. Because first of all, it sounds like you need to get your place in the resident committee.
Mm-hmm. So if you care that much.
Exactly. And are you willing to put in that time? Because if you would like to, well, the regulation is there to safeguard your rights.